But to tell the story of these states means going back to about 5,000 BC. Rice was domesticated by at least that date. We don't know, as I told you earlier, exactly when it was. And for at least 4,000 years, autonomous, egalitarian rice farming societies flourished throughout Southeast Asia. But, and here again there's a theme which was very true in the Eastern Mediterranean and will be very true in the Americas when we go there. These societies were not self-sufficient. They constantly traded with one another for foodstuffs and other materials. And after about 2000 BC, they began to use bronze technology. At the same time, rice production appears to have increased. After 600 BC, iron technology arrived in Southeast Asia, at a time of major cultural and social change. We don't know whether this ironworking came from India or China. More probably, India. One day, we hope we will get definitive excavations that will tell us the answer. Here, as in China, the widespread use of iron triggered major social and political change. Now, for the first time after 600 BC, you find larger communities appearing, many of which became important centers for craft production. Something happened that allowed these communities to get larger, and allowed there to be more specialized craftspeople who didn't have to farm. Some authorities believe that the appearance of these larger settlements may have coincided with a major agricultural innovation, the introduction of wild rice cultivation in waterlogged fields, and also the first use of plows hauled by water buffaloes and double cropping. The result of all this was a massive increase in agricultural surpluses. But, as was the case in other parts of the world, such highly organized agriculture required cooperation. It required agricultural labor at a level above that of the individual household. It required, above all, organization. And it seems likely that the leaders of more highly ranked lineages, kin groups, assumed control of the larger Southeastern Asian centers. They were the people who controlled food surpluses and agricultural production. And they used and manipulated some of these sources, surpluses, not only to support artisans, but also to acquire wealth through trade and through their support of craftspeople. Hardly surprisingly, the most complex of these societies developed in river floodplain areas, where populations grew rapidly and trade expanded. Why? Firstly, the soils were extremely fertile. There was plenty of water. There was the annual flood. Rice cultivation thrived. And secondly, as we said before, these rivers were natural highways for societies where a great deal of life unfolded on the water. By the time of Christ, as the Han Dynasty was reaching its full flow in China, some Southeastern Asian societies had become highly centralized. They were ruled by an aristocratic class who ruled by virtue of their spiritual relationship with the ancestors. Like so many other places, this link with the spiritual world was an essential glue to agricultural society. And here, rank and ancestry and a connection to divine ancestors went very closely together. They were closely related. And we'll find that exactly the same phenomenon occurred among the ancient Maya of Mesoamerica, whom we talk about in Lecture 32.